Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 24th of April, recording at 9:21 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Global stock markets, a little bit of loss of upside momentum here. Not so much in Asia, but certainly in Europe. And the U.S. Has been a little bit more choppy here recently. And although Wall Street improved here following an early sell-off, closed unchanged actually on the NASDAQ and the S&P virtually, the Dow is up 34. Wall Street was helped a bit by a weaker oil price, which gave up most of yesterday's rally, and that rally was mainly attributed to the Nigerian post-election dispute and fears that that might delay oil shipments, and the market came back down today, the oil market that is, on the basis that it wasn't going to affect shipments. Looks to me like it's consolidating. Elsewhere, government bonds gently steady in here, so bond futures are up just a shade in here today. The U.S. dollar took a knock on some U.S. economic data. I can't even remember what it is. There's so much data that comes piling out, but the dollar has, suffice it to say, the dollar has been soft for really quite some time, and I think I've been describing the action that we had seen late last week. Well, I wasn't here late last week, so describing it yesterday as a little bit of a dead cat bounce, barely steady, and it was hit in here today. So again, a soft dollar. Now, we did see the metals back away from highs. Both gold and silver had pushed higher in here this morning, and then got knocked back fairly sharply. Gold currently trading down 540. The futures are down a little bit more. Silver, for instance, is quite a swing here today. Got up to July contract got up to 1422, then fell to 1384 and a half, and closed on the lower side, 1391.6. And we had platinum, which has been the strongest recently, that pulled back in here about $20 today at 1311. And soft commodities mostly weaker in here today. So definitely we've seen some softening in the commodity markets today, and the soft commodities have been under pressure, selling pressure for a little while. Okay, what's going on in here right now? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I think I mentioned yesterday that we had a number of overbought conditions. Sometimes people say to me, well, what's an overbought condition? Well, you can measure these things with stochastics, but I'm not an awfully big fan of that. It's really when a trend has been quite persistent and is beginning to look a little bit overextended. And so on a short-term basis, I think that, we're getting overextended here, and you can see that on the charts, more importantly. I was talking also last week about how on the weekly charts that a number of these indices were rallying, well, some of them, not all of them, but some of them were rallying well above their 200-day moving averages once again, leaving them a little bit more vulnerable to a pullback and consolidation. So I think that the risk of a sort of a ranging reaction, I don't think we're going to see anything as sharp as we saw at the end of February and the first few days of March, but I think the risk of sort of a ranging reactive phase has certainly increased in here. Now, to avoid that and actually to see markets push ahead more strongly, we'd need to get upside breakouts from the trading ranges that we're seeing in a number of stock market indices, not least the Europeans. Now, that's a case of be careful what you wish for, because the more powerfully stock markets push ahead in the short term, the more overextended they become, and the bigger the subsequent reaction when they lose upside momentum. So actually, some sideways ranging in here would be in the form of a consolidation that could be reasonably healthy. And the markets are going to do what they're going to do here overall, but I'll leave you with that. What a banality that is. I'll just say that the short-term risks have increased as a result of the good gains that we have seen recently, but I don't see anything on the immediate horizon that's worse than a somewhat sort of choppy ranging reactive phase. Okay, and we're still within the long-term upward trends. That's the most important factor that I could mention. We are coming into a period that's a little bit more tricky seasonally, but don't forget we also had that sharp reaction back in late February and early March, and that made stock markets hopefully less vulnerable than they were, say, in May and June of last year. Government bond markets, we're not getting an inflation panic on the yields, and that's good news because a lot of people have been writing about inflation pressures recently. So that's favorable. And in terms of, now I've just lost the Bloomberg screen here today, so I'm not going to be able to give you some of the additional updated information. But let me carry on here today. One of the reasons I think why those bond prices are slightly steadier, and in other words, yields are no longer rallying, they've actually eased back a little bit, is that we have seen the soft commodity prices come back really quite sharply, and it was ever since the U.S. came out with that report on the planting, and that made quite a change. Now, that's good news as far as stock markets are concerned and bond markets are concerned overall, because if we get soaring food prices, then central banks really are going to face a dilemma here. And for instance, it would make it very, very difficult for Ben Bernanke to chop interest rates in response to a weak housing sector. So soft commodities coming down is, as I said, good news for the stock markets. Now, in looking at some of the other influences here, well, that slow growth that we are seeing in the U.S. Has been a concern as far as corporate profits are concerned, but the profits have tended to surprise on the upside. We might not be so lucky come the profits for the second quarter of the year, and perhaps the third quarter of the year. So, some problems out there for stock markets, but again, I don't see anything significantly derailing the overall upward trends that are in place. That's the best way to put it. Now, as far as the U.S. dollar is concerned, this really does remain soft. Everyone knows that, or everyone expects, I should say, that the Fed is not going to be raising rates. And I can use the word no, as far as European rates, including UK rates, pretty well everyone knows that those are going to move up. So we're going to see interest rate differentials improving in favor of the European currencies, which have the trend on their side, as well. Now, when some of these currencies run too strongly against the US dollar, they begin to react, and I think their central banks, if it isn't vertigo that does it, their central banks step in to help soften the currency. We're seeing that with Australia at the moment. So the Australian dollar, after its strong run on the upside, is easing back, but the main trend against the greenback is upwards. In other words, the US dollar remains a fundamentally and technically weak currency. The other fundamentally and technically weak major currency is, of course, the yen. And I don't see this changing in a big way for either the yen or the US dollar anytime soon. Industrial metals, well, when we get nickel up at that $50,000 level, that is on the LME, that is such a big round of phobia number, big psychological resistance barrier, and it has been falling back, and we're seeing further ranging up here. I am cautious in terms of my outlook for the nickel price. In other words, we're seeing a number of forecasts coming out of some of the research houses projecting the nickel price still higher. Well, it certainly hasn't broken down. It hasn't broken its progression of rising lows, but I'm reluctant to project it higher from here. I think it may well be a bit of a underperformer here, given the strength of the gains already seen. But more importantly, the sector as a whole is underpinned by real demand, not least from that strong growth in emerging economies led by China. That's really the big story. And oil prices, again, I maintain that we saw the low for that medium-term correction at $50 for NYMEX crude, and it's ranging its way back up. And that's what I actually expect. I haven't been expecting a sprint on the upside as we saw with copper after it reached its low, and some of the other metals, oil, and it's much more likely to be a ranging recovery, because we don't have the equivalent thin supply situation, but we do have overall that rising demand factor, which I maintain is extremely important. So it falls within our supply inelasticity meets rising demand, except that the supply inelasticity problem is far greater with industrial metals than it is for crude oil. And soft commodities, the plantings are up, the funds were in, some of those are coming out, and prices really are going to retreat until, because this early in the season, you can be sure that we will have some weather frights. So prices are easing and will continue to ease until we get a crop scare, almost certainly due to weather factors, despite all the talk about insufficient bees in North America and Europe. And I think that's pretty much it. So all the best to all of you.